So all is well?
Yes.
Okay. We're black today, so like really late. What's the difference between a black man and Batman?
I see this dream. I don't know. Oh, let me think. I don't know. What?
What's the difference? Did you hear the joke?
Yeah. No, I don't know the answer.
What's the difference between Batman and a black man?
Batman's fast.
It's fast.
I don't know. They're both black.
Batman can go in a store without robbing.
There you go.
Oh. You get it?
Wait, what? I didn't hear the punchline.
Why does that have to be
Batman? Was he telling you the answer?
Yeah.
No, it's on my, not my version. Shoot.
Batman can go.
Play it.
Come and tell another joke, Joe. Tell a joke, Sean.
All
right. Oh, it's going to be dirty, though.
No, it's super
clean. Close your ear, kids. Okay.
Go like this. Uh-oh. Knock, knock.
Who is it?
Woo.
Woo-hoo.
There you go.
What?
Welcome to Fellowship. We are late. And we're late because the engineer were late, and Hate were late, and I was late. But welcome to the fellowship. Hate is going to take your questions and comments, and I'll be able to respond to them. Good morning, y'all, again.
Good morning.
And so, before I get rolling, any question? No questions. Anybody had a week this week? Nobody. So what I want to do, I want to do something a little different this morning. I want you to come up and give a 10-minute talk, and then I'm going to pick a couple of people to respond to your talk. Come on. Do you mind being on camera?
No.
Okay. You don't mind being on camera. I can do it from there. You can do it from there.
10-minute talk.
Huh?
Let's go on camera.
Okay. And you're going to talk exactly 10 minutes.
Exactly.
Okay.
Oh my God. All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So I would like to get your thoughts on what just happened to me as I was driving up here. I had someone that I considered a friend in the past call me as I was driving up here. And but recently I've realized that this person is not a friend to me at all, but I've known them for many years, you know, over 20 years. And they were talking to me about all of the things that they're purchasing for their child and how their child is going to be this great person. Everyone's going to know their child. And telling me all these great things about, or a lot of material things that he's getting for his child and stuff. And I actually was sitting through this conversation and I was just kind of listening, but I don't know if there was some anger building up in me, but I felt that the conversation was very empty. And I did listen, and I didn't just tell this person that I didn't want to talk to them, because there's been times where I'll just ignore their phone calls. And I would like to know, how would any of you would have handled that, or would you have any suggestions to anything? Yes, sir.
I think you handled that good. DJ Darren here. I think you handled that good, bro. I think a lot of times we're tempted to say what we want to say to people, but that's with emotion and whatnot. It's probably unneeded statement toward them. It's better just to listen, let it ride, and not cause controversy, and let it ride. You can always disappear from a friend quietly, right, with peace, and they don't need to even know that you don't want to deal with them anymore. When I just listen gently and just, you know, don't even go away mad, just go away, right? Go away quietly.
So you don't think I should have told that person that, hey, I don't really want to talk to you anymore?
No.
Okay.
I've dealt with that same thing too. I got a lot of fake friends, right? A lot of people. And so my tendency is to yell at them and call them out on their BS and whatnot. But the better route is to just go away quietly and have no emotion about it and be like, well, I gave that person a chance, or, you know, they're just not that type of person for me. And just go away quietly. Don't even say a word. You're not going to change them, right? And you're just going to risk getting them upset.
Thanks. Can anyone else give me their thoughts or about that?
Yeah, he said, DJ, somebody please start speaking.
DJ Aaron.
Who is that?
He gave me promotion. I think you handled it well, not, I guess, weighing in on your opinion. And I think, because I'm going through something similar right now, and I'm really just looking inside myself about what's making me angry about this person, what the devil's saying to me about them, about myself, examining why I was ever friends with this person to begin with. I think Satan has a way of just convincing you that you're right all the time and that there's always something to get from people. And I think engaging with that irritation and that anger is just playing along with the devil and expecting another devil to even hear what you're saying, So I think you staying quiet sometimes and just watching, I think, is the best way forward.
Real quick, Rachel, I'd like to ask you, I know for purposes of communication, we have to say friend, right?
Right.
But do you have any friends?
I don't know. I used to think I had a lot of friends, and then that's shifted, and now I'm taking a closer look at what I would have considered to be like really close friends, and what that even means. And I really took this week just kind of shutting the world off and staying away from a lot of people intentionally, because I needed to look at a bunch of stuff and be quiet. So I don't know. I mean, I guess for the sake of language, I would say, yeah, I have some friends, but it's a very small pool of friends. Small circle, yeah.
Thank you.
So we need more talk from you.
Okay.
Can I ask him a question?
You have a question for
him?
Okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, absolutely.
You mentioned you were describing that moment with your friend, and you said were you getting angry? Is that what you said? Or whatever, you had some emotional thing going on. In that moment, I'm asking you sincerely. I'm not like judging you or testing you. This is a question I'm obsessed with. Why were you unable to just drop it? Because you've been coming to Bond. I know you've been I know you know a couple of things here that we talk about. Why were you unable to drop that?
Hold that thought for me. I want him to give more talk. And then we'll take some questions.
Absolutely. So
you're trying to take the bait away out.
Well, so I've been pondering the question I just asked Rachel about friends. And I came to the realization that I don't have any friends, or this label that, we've come to learn about or associate with the word friend doesn't really truly exist. Did that kind of it did awaken a feeling within me, and I did have to sit there and observe it and not feel like, oh, feel sad and say, wow, my life is bad. I don't have any friends. It was really, I just really had to take a look within myself and understand what's going on within me. And I know, Jesse, you talk about labels quite a bit, and I just wanted to really realize all the labels that I've been using throughout my entire life that I've been trained to use. And I feel like once I attach the label to people or things or whatever, how it affects my life or whatever. So it was just something I had to really truly observe within myself. And just sit with whatever feelings that would arise, just really sit with that and really see what's going on within myself. So I'm always presented with opportunities to speak with people. Many friends, people are, you know, calling me. I live out here on the West Coast, but most of my family's back east, Midwest east. And they call me, and I have to look within myself, make sure that I'm not responding to them in anger, but I'm also telling the truth to them. So it's just something I'm really trying to deal with now. And I know that whatever that they're presenting to me, I really make an effort. I say, hey, I'm not judging them. They're coming with me with anger, because sometimes, of course, as you guys all know, that presenting the truth to people, they're going to get angry at you, and they were already your enemy, but they're going to really present themselves as an obvious enemy to you, and you have to kind of really sit within yourself and try not to fight them back or. You just let the anger rise up in you, and you do something that's really against God's will. So that's something I've really had to look at within myself. I've said this before. What led me to bond was really. My anger was destroying me from within. I was angry at the mother of my child, very angry, and I found that that anger was really. I was in hell. I was living in hell, and I can feel it. And but I was always point out at someone else to blame them as to you made me angry. It's on you. You're the person that made me angry. I'm a naturally good person, but you made me angry. But I realized that wasn't the case. I really had to take a hard look at myself. I did go on to forgive her. I somewhat always knew that I had some resentment towards my mother. But it just became obvious when I heard Jesse's message. In the beginning, I rejected his message. I thought he was I thought he was crazy, pretty much. But really, I was led back to his message, and basically it kind of sank in, and I'm now implementing that within my life right now. So that 10 minutes.
Oh, man. What's your name, your first name?
I'm Jason.
Oh, okay. Jason. Oh, you never did say your name. So I want. Oh, Nick, you had a question. Then
it's not important.
I'm sorry.
It's not important.
No, you still can ask if you like.
I don't think my question matters because he kind of explained it.
Oh, okay.
It was about why not drop that? But he's talking about working on himself.
Oh, okay. I want you to respond to what he said. And I want you to respond to what he said. All right? Okay.
Well, you said a lot of interesting things there. I did want to ask you...
No, not to ask, but respond.
Oh, respond? Well, in response...
Is
your mic on? Hello? Okay. So, in response to... I mean, let me see, I'm trying to think of how... Because I agree with a lot of what you said, and it resonated with me when you said the part about friends in particular, because I, you know, have taken a closer look at that myself. I remember when Facebook was first launched, and you know how they, the friends, friend me or unfriend me or whatever. But when it first launched, there was something in my spirit that was, that kind of, I felt something about that. I'm like, friend, that's such a heavy title to just place on the world at large. So I really believe that even though I didn't know what I know now, there was something in my spirit that knew that, that there was something that just didn't, that wasn't quite right about that. And now being in the, in this and on this journey toward, you know, working on myself and leaning closer to God, I do, I agree with what Jesse has said about that word friend. It's another made-up word. There's no friend. I remember when I first started coming here, I lost two friends that I'd had for over 20 years. And it's like, it was almost like the reason for the loss of the friendship that presented itself, it was almost like the punishment didn't meet the crime. It's like, oh, you dropped something on my toe. I never want to talk to you again. It was, you know, similar to that. And it just really brought to light to me how that word is overused. It means nothing. I don't even think about these two women because we began treading down different paths anyway. So you said many interesting things that stood out to me.
Here, respond to what he said.
I thought it was really honest and deep, and I think I definitely think about that a lot, like friendships and people that you talk to, who are they to you, but also specifically pertaining to the relationship that you have with those friends. It's always an exchange in the past for me. We're always getting something from each other. And when you really think, like, if I never gave something to that person, would they still be there for me? That's when you really question how much of a relationship you have between each other. So I've definitely thought about that. And I think I had a question specifically about how the conversation ended in the car between you two, but to just put my comments on what you said, I think that it was very deep, and I often watch how I react in moments when somebody says something to me and is not something that rubs me the right way. And I'm always trying to say, okay, even though what they're saying is probably not right, why am I getting annoyed by it? So, yeah.
If you want to know, how did the conversation end?
I took the beta route out. I was like, well, before I pulled up to Bond, I was just like, oh, I'm where I'm going right now, so let me get off the phone with you. So that's how it ended.
So you got mad at your friend because he was having a party?
No, I wasn't mad at him.
Because
just,
I don't know what your anger was about. What did he?
I wasn't truly angry. It was just that I know when he calls me, he kind of just tells me it's just a bragging session or whatever about empty stuff. It's not anything spiritual. It's just empty stuff, and I didn't want to hear it.
Oh, so you didn't want to hear about his party?
No, I did not.
Well, so why you got mad about that, though? I don't understand.
No, I don't think
you couldn't say, okay, I got to go.
Usually I just ignore the phone call, but I don't know why I was just kind of, I wanted to answer the call at that time.
Okay. So. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
The young lady,
him a question, actually. Is that too late?
Yeah. But I want you to talk about you for 10 minutes.
No, thanks. I don't want to do that.
You don't have to come up here to do it.
I know, I still don't want to do it.
Why not? This is good. It's healthy. It's real healthy.
I mean, I'm sure it is, but I don't want to.
I can't hear you.
I don't want to, but I'm sure.
You don't want to talk about you for 10 minutes? Everybody want to talk about themselves.
No, thank you. Can I pass the mic along?
I'm sorry?
Can I pass the mic along?
Not yet. But you do not want to talk about you.
No.
Oh, okay. The young lady in the back, talk about you for 10 minutes. Your name.
10 minutes? Oh, dear.
Do you want to come up here?
But what can I really talk about?
You're wasting time. You could have been talking about you.
Okay. For 10 minutes.
You've been coming here for a while, right?
Well, a little bit, yes.
Do you mind being on stage? You don't have to do it on stage.
I mean, I don't mind.
You don't mind? I bet you don't. Hey, don't encourage her. Mama? Do you mind being on stage?
I don't mind being on stage. I just don't know what to talk about for 10 minutes.
Okay, come.
All right. I'll just leave my purse. Thank you.
She's walking over like Wendy Houston.
For 10 minutes?
Yes.
Minutes, something about me. Okay. To build off of Jason, what he was saying, I didn't realize this until I had gotten into a recent relationship that I had a lot of anger. And people were telling me that before, and I was just like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just only responding to what people do to me, because usually I mind my business and I live my life.
What's your first name?
Sha.
Okay.
It's Shalisha, but a lot of people call me Sha.
Okay.
But, so I'm like, I don't know what these people are talking about. I usually just live my life. I mind my business, because usually people just come up to me. I've always had this thing where I'm a small person. I don't know if anybody could see. I'm a very small person. I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. And a lot of people there are just bigger than me. Even the teenagers were just very developed, just very developed teenagers walking around. Then there was me. I was a very small person. So at a very young age, I didn't realize it, but I've had a chip on my shoulder for so long. I just didn't notice it until I got into a recent relationship where I was like, wow, I think there's something wrong with me. I have a lot of unnatural anger, and it starts right here. This sounds so crazy, but it does. Every time I get upset, it just starts right here. I can't even explain it. It's like I have to shake it. Like I'm fighting with the devil, like, stop. No, I'm not going to get upset today. But, it's serious. It sounds so crazy, but It's just amazing what anger does, especially when you realize that you have it and you have so much of it. And I've just been realizing so many things, especially it's so strange how God works. The friend situation, I got invited to this beach house yesterday, and I was surrounded by these girls that seemed like they wanted to get to know me and, you know, be my friend. But I just felt this really strange energy around them, and I didn't know if it was the devil just feeding, that it was a weird energy. So I was just watching that, but I was talking to them, and it just got even stranger, and it just got even weirder. I was just like, I don't really know if they want to be my friend or they're just watching me. I'm not sure, but I knew that they had interest in getting to know me and wanting to, you know who I was. But it was just so strange to just watch and have that feeling of someone being fake. Because I was like, am I being fake? Or are they being fake? I just felt this really strange energy shift of the atmosphere is just off. Didn't know what it was. Still really can't count what it is. But yeah. Was that 10 minutes?
Not yet. You got 5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
We need to get on to eight.
Eight?
Number eight.
Okay. Can someone ask a question or something?
I'm sorry?
I said, can anybody ask a question? I just don't really know what else to talk about. Let's see. Yeah, I've just really been trying to work on myself and just trying to be better and really discover who I am, if that's even a thing. He has something to say.
No, you can't.
He can't? Jesse, come on, help me out. Help me, please.
You're doing better than that other lady.
Well.
Your husband's going to beat you. You embarrass him. He's going to beat you when you get home.
Uh-oh. But yeah, I've just been trying to work on myself, watching my thoughts, especially when I get angry. It's just amazing. It really, truly is amazing. But yeah, I've just been working on myself and doing the silent prayer and just trying to watch the anger, because it's just anger. It's nothing else. It's not sadness. I've never experienced being depressed. It's just anger, especially when people try to like put me in a box of being small, because I'm relatively a polite person, and I don't say kind or nice. I'm polite. I'm a very polite person, and a lot of people tend to take that as, I don't know. Somebody said a weakness? Yes, a pushover. And it gets me in these really weird situations where anger does tend to peep its head. So, yes, I am just trying to work on that, trying to work not putting myself in a box of just like, oh, you're small, they're trying to play you like you're small, you know. But yeah, I mean, that's all I really have to say about it. I'm just trying to work on myself and not, you know, just get rid of that demon that's just there and ready. They're ready. Am I 8, 9, 10?
All right. Okay. So Sean got to respond to what she said.
Okay.
As well as the young man here.
It's kind of like Jesse says often, where it's the nicest moms who are the most horrible. You know, like it's always the moms that seem like the sweetest angels on earth that are always behind closed doors.
Crazy.
So your politeness, your like over politeness to me seems like it could be a cover for what you know to be what's going on inside of you, which some people don't even know that that's going on inside of you. You know, some people think that that's normal. So the fact that you're starting to see that it's not normal is a good first step, because a lot of people are so asleep that they just accept it, you know. But the fact that you're starting to see it is just the light starting to shine. And that fake politeness, people see right through that. So if they see that in you, they'll look at it as weakness and try to take advantage of you. Mm-hmm. Not because of your physical size, but because of your, you know, vibe towards them.
Wow. Wow.
Yep, that's all I got to say about that.
Am
what do you think about
respond?
That?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
I'll let you add to it. You want to?
I do.
Okay.
I never really thought about it that way, because I've always thought like, I'm just living my life. Like, I'll speak when I'm spoken to, and I just live the dream. I never thought about it as people seeing that as a cover up. I didn't think about it.
Where do you
think
you learned the? Was your mom really polite, like quiet and polite?
Sure.
In a way.
Sure. In a way, she was. She wasn't mean.
Right.
So yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
right here, respond to what she said.
You're from the South, right?
Yes.
So isn't that a trait? Manners?
No, respond to what she said.
Okay. Seems like you don't want your kindness to be mistaken for weakness. You said you were smaller, so you probably have some resentment towards maybe a little bit of bullying growing up.
Am I supposed to respond to that?
I mean, I'm assuming this from what you said.
I used to have a lot of resentment. Now, if it's still there, that's up for debate. I'm really not sure. But I know in the past I did. Mm. I was very angry.
Right.
Like, set a blaze of fire angry. It was bad. But like I said, that was in the past. I think about it now, it's silly, but
great.
Yeah.
I can relate to both of those concepts.
Really?
But it seems like you found this place, something about this place spoke to you, and you probably want to control your anger even before you got here, right?
Well, I didn't know it was there. Like, I knew it was something. I knew I was like, if someone were to, like, put me in a compromising position where I'd have to speak up for myself, I would. But I didn't associate that with, like, you got demons inside of you.
Right.
I didn't connect the two. I was like, oh, I'm just going to stand up for myself. I didn't think this is, like, a problem.
Right.
If that answers the question.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said, does that answer the question?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know what else to really say about this. I'm still in a process. I'm probably the wrong person to respond to this.
Okay. Thank you. That was good. Thank you. How was that?
It wasn't as bad as I thought.
See?
It's not bad.
Her phone number is Fall Home ET. No.
Thank you. I get this to you.
Get that to Sean.
Okay.
Amazing. I want to do it with one other person, I think. Right here. Yeah. Are you want to come up here or you want to do it back there?
Absolutely not.
You don't want to come here?
No.
And why not?
I don't even think I should be doing this right now. I'm still in the process of understanding everything.
But do you have any problem being on camera?
Sorta.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm gonna be kind to you then. We'll go for 5 minutes about you. Okay. I don't know if I should have said that. What have you learned since you've been here? What do you know about yourself? Whatever.
Oh.
For 5 minutes. I won't keep you for 10 minutes. For 5 minutes.
Well,
so from the 9 to the 10.
Okay. That's an offer I can't refuse, right? To be honest with you, so far, everything everybody said, I can relate to one degree or another, which I think is what brings us all here. But hearing you talk about anger and forgiveness is what really got me here. Because I've been spinning my wheels at all these different churches for a long time. Some reasons were obvious. I was looking for something. After I had children, I realized I needed something. So the obvious place for me was church. But then as I started going to church, it felt a little, in some cases, pointless, and in other cases, like, we're getting closer, but still something's missing. But then when I heard the things you were talking about, it made me realize that this, for me, is far more helpful. Because I'm not going to go see a therapist. Because the majority of therapists you would go see are probably going to make your problems worse. Or just waste your time like some of the churches I've been to. But immediately when I realized, okay, almost every issue I have in this world is anger-related. It's the inability to respond in the right way because of the clouding of anger. So here I am now. I'm almost there. I think I kind of understand what you're trying to say. I do have a lot more questions, but I feel like I have time. I feel like some of those questions will just be answered naturally as I keep coming here. Is that only been 1 minute? Are you kidding me?
It's been exactly 1 minute.
That's, maybe I should speak slower.
And you only have 5 minutes, so you still have 4 minutes left.
Okay. I mean, but at this point, I mean, I'm just making stuff up to fill time. I think I covered it, right? It's not about the time, right? It's about the point.
Okay.
Is that fair enough?
It is. This young lady want to respond, and the young lady in the white way back to what he said.
I can relate to what he was describing as far as not understanding everything and maybe even being confused or perhaps resisting internally some sort of message that's coming across here, but still knowing that in not understanding, still continuing to show up here, still continuing to fellowship, to come, that I eventually will understand. I agree with what he said, that I have time. I feel that same way. There's plenty of time for me to get it. I, in some areas, maybe closed off or don't fully understand, but I totally get that. Just keep showing up and leaving a blank slate and allowing for the truth to come through. I think that that's, for me, I don't know if he relates to, but that's all I need.
Okay.
I got one more thing.
I got you. Okay. Last week you had a young woman sitting over here, and she almost got a little mad at you because she said, well, if you're not going to be 100% by the book, then forget it. This is a waste of her time. That's how she saw it. And I almost wanted to talk to her because it was funny, right? The response you gave her was actually out of the Bible. And if she had been Bible literate, she would have known that. And I wanted to point that out to her. Do you realize he just gave you a biblical response?
Yeah.
But you didn't really make it known, which I think in a way was, it's far more helpful because this only works if you're ready for it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Everyone that comes here is not ready for the message.
Yeah, she clearly wasn't.
And it's too important to waste time on those people.
Yeah, I saw that clearly. I mean, she went right on her phone.
Yeah.
Which I thought was weird because she wouldn't do that in any other church.
Right.
That's immediately rude. But she was doing it in a kind of a way that I almost felt bad for her.
Why?
Well, that's the funny part. It's like, you're right. Why? But that's my initial, that has always been my initial response. That's what got me in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
It's like, I wanted to fix it. Oh, problem, easy to fix. Let me get on that. Right? I can say 4 things and that'll fix it. And that's also a lot of what you talk about.
Yeah.
Keep me out of the mess.
Yeah. You know, even when Christ, when you read the New Testament, you read about Christ, he went around, he gave all these talks, and some people went to the talk and they heard the message and they stayed with Christ. They followed him around wherever they could. They were really trying to get it. And some people would hear the message and you could see them whisper amongst each other, looking at the clock to the mm-hmm. They're thinking, oh, God, no, this is it, right? And those, it wasn't for them. And so Christ just let them go off into hell and die. He didn't bother about it at all. Because this message is so important, it is so true, and it's so right, that it really will take that true seeker that want it. It's the seeker that is willing to lose everything for it. To really lose their wife, their husband, their kids, their money, whatever. That's how serious the message is. And only a few are going to be that serious about it.
And that's also biblical what you just said.
I'm sorry?
That's also biblical what you just said. It's what Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace.
Right.
I came to bring a sword.
Absolutely. And so over the years, you see people come and go, and only the few that really go through it. So, but don't try to say them. They don't want to hear.
No, that's just, that's the old me.
Right. Yeah. And Satan to tell you, oh, go over there, minister her, or give her a little better understanding about it.
Right.
Or don't do that.
Well, because it was so obvious to me that I thought, oh, yeah, it's almost like just shifting the mirror a little bit. That's all.
But not to something.
No, I realized immediately, like, no.
Yeah.
It's not my job. I'm still, first of all, who am I? I'm still trying to figure it out.
That's right. The worst thing that you could do with another human being, no matter who it is to try to save them from hell. Remember, even when Christ healed that blind guy, he said, go and tell nobody. But he went minister anyway, right? But he said, tell no one, because he knows that most people don't want it. Most people don't want it. And then those that don't want it will try to make him think he wasn't really healed.
Right.
You wasn't really healed.
Right.
You were already healed or something to try to deceive them, because that's how the devil operates.
100.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Okay. The young lady going to respond to what he said in his talk.
Actually, I went to the bathroom.
Oh.
When she was on the stage, and when I came back, he was talking, so I didn't really hear what he said.
Oh, okay. All right. Right here. Respond to what he said.
I agree.
I agree.
I don't have much to say, yeah.
Agree to what?
To that.
That's an easy way out. I agree.
That I'm here to have a better understanding of myself, of ourselves.
Oh, okay.
That's it. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That helped. Okay. And were you nervous during the talk?
No.
Not at all? Oh, okay.
No.
And how about you? The young lady, right? Were you nervous?
In the beginning, going up those steps, yes.
Okay. She left again. Okay. Any questions about anything? This is going to be happening sometime, so get ready for it, because I want to make sure that you are working on you. You got to be working on you. I can't work on you. And your mama, your brother, your sister, nobody can work on you. And we have these women's forum, the men's forum, counseling, all kinds of things, but you got to work on you. And you're going to have so many distractions that are not even funny. You haven't seen them yet. They're coming. Even with couples, if the husband is not working on himself, he would try to stop the wife from working on herself. He would give her a hard time to prevent it. And then if the wife is not working on herself, she would try to stop the husband from working on himself. You don't love me. You don't pay me any attention. You always listen to that radio show or something like that. That is a distraction from hell. And you got to literally make up your mind that you got to work on you. And I'm telling you, if you make up your mind about this, you will not regret it. God will, because he is trying to save you from your hell, God will save you from hell. And he will save you from your misery. He will save you from your hell. But you got to really work on yourself. Meaning that you got to pay attention to what is going on inside of you. You really got to pay attention to that. You know, I've seen Nick outside working on his car. Sometimes he works on his car. And I noticed that he, like, pay attention to that car. Whatever needs to be repaired, until he get it done, and it's done. That's how you got to work on you. You got to pay attention to you and watch out for the people that will try to disrupt you. They will. They're going to come in all kinds of ways. And another thing, too, when you're working on yourself, you got to do it. Well, you don't have to. But you got to really pay attention and let it be. Let the hell be. You can't get rid of the hell. Because if you see that you have this hell inside of you and let it be, then God can save you away from it. He'll take you away from your misery and give you perfect peace right here on earth. You can literally have paradise right here on earth. But you really, really got to pay attention. And that's why I want to do these exercises sometime so I can see, you know, get a little hope of where you're coming from. And then I noticed that, and I'm not talking about anyone in this room. I might be, but I might not. When I have you to tell me about you or you have a question, it needs to be about you. It needs to be about you. What you realize or have a question or something that is not quite clear or blah, blah, blah. And maybe someone else in the room would be able to answer the question here in this room because everybody going through the same thing. But it needs to be about you. Isn't that amazing? Any question about that? Okay. So what I want to do, I want to get to the biblical question. This is your first time here?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. What's your name and how did you find it?
Jose, and I found you through the reels calling people betas, and I thought it was hilarious.
Well, okay. Black people are so amusing.
Yes.
Is that the right word, Dave?
Entertaining.
Black people are so entertaining.
Yes.
Any questions about anything?
I've never liked speaking about myself. Is that like the ego?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Because you said, oh, what?
Oh, shoot. Oh. Shoot, yeah.
And that is because you don't really know you. You have no idea who you are, and it's all about the ego. Or if you don't want to talk about it, it's about the ego. But because you don't know you yet.
That's deep.
And that's why you're here. That's what brought you here today, so you can get to know you. And there is a you, but it's nothing like what you can imagine. You can't, you know, Christ said that bring all thoughts into captivity, all imagination, all the into a captivity. And this is why, because we can't even imagine who we really are. It's not even in your imagination. And so that's why.
Man, that's amazing. Yeah. Thank you.
Are you doing the silent prayer?
Yes, just in the morning, not at night.
And why not at night?
I'm beta.
Yeah. Well, I want to encourage you to get serious about this. And when I say serious, don't be like trip out serious. But be serious about working on you, about overcoming this misery, this hell that's inside of you. And it will happen if you stay with it. So do the silent prayer every morning and night. And eventually, you're going to find yourself in that mode of the prayer. It'll just happen naturally. But you got to start somewhere. And so start working on it night and day. And plus, you'll have a good rest at night if you do it at night before bed as well.
Okay. 20 minutes, right, is the best?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
All right. Amazing.
Thank you.
And you said you had a question. You had a couple more.
Eventually.
Do you have them now? Any question now?
No, they're not complete enough to ask.
Oh, okay. I understand that. Absolutely.
Or they're too complicated.
They're too complicated to ask?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you have one complicated one you want to ask?
No.
Well, okay.
Well, I will.
Nice. Okay. The biblical question. What was the biblical question? I'm sorry?
Can you ever really know someone?
And you say? Sean gave me that question this week.
It's a good question. And I don't believe, for me, I don't believe so because...
Oh, I saw your hand. I'll come to you. I just realized. Okay.
Do you want...
No.
Okay. For me, I don't really believe so because I don't think it's possible to know someone else if I don't even know who I am. Mm-hmm. And that person most likely doesn't even know who they are either.
Okay. And so you say no?
I say no.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. In the black shirt, is it possible to, what was the question?
Can you ever really know?
Could you ever really know someone?
Let me think about it.
I'm sorry?
Let me think about it.
Oh, okay. All right. Right here with Bill. Bill is visiting again from Michigan every year.
Hello, Bill.
Amazing. Is it possible to ever really know someone?
No, I say no.
And why not?
Because all I'm concerned with is knowing thyself. And for everyone else, I can sense whether they're in the spirit or not, and that's why I have no friends really. But no, I can't know anyone else at all.
And what do you mean you can sense whether they're in the spirit or not?
There's only a few that are truly of the Father, one with the Father. And, you know, that's why even when we say about having any friends, oh, I have absolutely no friends, zero. I remember when I was young, my mom said, you'll never have any friends, you only have acquaintances, and if you're lucky, if you have one. So I can't know someone else's heart.
Okay.
I really can't.
All right. Right here. Can you ever really know someone?
Well, I'm getting to know myself. So, you know, how do I know if they really, you know, how do I know them if I really don't know myself? You know what I'm saying? No. You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't, just people change, you know what I'm saying? And you know, you don't know them.
And what do you know about yourself that you didn't know before?
What do I know about myself that I don't know about before? Just my anger, you know what I'm saying? How, you know, how angry I was, you know what I mean? And how I feel like I've really overcome a lot of it. What do I know about myself? Just a silent prayer. You know, I had a hard time, you know, just how hard it was for me to be quiet and still, you know what I'm saying? I've been working on it for the last couple of days around here, you know, doing silent prayer and just, you know, it takes a lot to get quiet and just be present.
And this is your first time here?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I was here Thursday night.
Right, I remember.
Yeah.
But this is the first time I'm meeting.
Yeah.
A Sunday meeting. What's your first name?
Tracy.
Oh, okay.
I'm from Detroit too.
Oh, okay. And so, any question about the silent prayer?
Any questions about silent prayer? Just, I listened to your silent prayer on the internet, but you know what I'm saying?
Are you nervous right now?
I'm yeah, a little.
And well, I know you are frigid and everything. Why?
Yeah, just, you know, because why am I just, you know, because I don't know if I'll have the right answer or, you know what I'm saying? I know there is no right answer, but, you know, because I can't really remember what he said. You know what I'm saying? So if you ask me about what he said, I can't even remember what he said. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean? So I'm trying to do the best I can. You know what I mean?
Right. And so, but right now you feel nervous?
No, I feel good.
Good. But why are you so frigidy right now?
Just sitting still. You know what I mean? I've been working on it. I come out here with Bill 5 days ago, and I've been just working on slowing down and just, you know, we've been working on silent prayer, you know, everywhere, just, you know, because it, you know, I needed a personal trainer. You know what I mean? I needed help.
Yeah.
You know? And
amazing.
I got it, you know what I mean?
So are you able to relax right now? Stop moving about and be all nervous?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I can. I still want to move a little.
So what now?
I still want to move a little.
But don't move.
Okay. Be still and know him.
Yeah, your feet or anything?
I know.
So what it feels like to not move?
Feels like somebody's got me wrapped up in a blanket.
I seen all these people with blankets, you know. I was like, damn, darn.
Amazing. So it feels like you're in a blanket to be still?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right here, right now.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I'm so blessed, to, you know, just from your teachings, and I was a total slave to my thoughts.
Don't move.
Okay.
Speak, but don't move.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yes. I'm just, you know, I'm glad I...
Don't move.
Bill introduced me to you, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, because I was an absolute slave to my thoughts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's amazing how all human beings, all of us, are slave to thoughts. And when I say slave, truly slave to thought.
Truly.
Yeah. And God never meant for us to live that way. And he wanted us to live a free thinking life, not even think about thoughts at all, except for practical thought, like what to eat. But he never meant for us to live by thoughts at all. And when you're not living by thought, all your needs are being met. All of them, all the time, are always met when you don't live by thoughts. Isn't that amazing?
I know the devil has me when I'm in thought. You know what I'm saying? He had me for a long
don't
time
move.
In thought.
So, go ahead.
And breathe.
So what?
Breathe too.
Yes. Right. And so I want you to talk to me without moving.
Okay.
And you were saying about the devil, what?
The devil has me when I'm in thought. You know what I'm saying? He has me in.
Yeah.
He has me right where he wants me.
And it's interesting, that's what the devil has done to us. He controls us with thoughts all the time. And even thinking about God is the devil control you with thought. Because when you're thinking about God, you're not thinking about God. To think about God is just another thought, but you're not really thinking about God. And like when the Bible thumper go around preaching the Bible about God and stuff, they're really worshiping the devil. They're not talking about God at all. Zero. It's all in the intellect. Your intellect is your enemy. He is not your friend. So the dumber you can become, the better off you are. You want to become dumb. I know you're white, and white people like to be intellectual, right?
In school, I was like LD, you know what I'm saying? In elementary school, I was learning disability, you know what I mean?
So, oh.
I mean, I'm slow, but I'm, you know, God gave me the ability to make a lot of money, you know what I'm saying?
So were you in the black class?
No.
No, but you want to become dumb. You want to get to the point where you know nothing. A person that think that they know things are dumb. Really. He never meant for us to be intellectual at all, 1-0. So this will be a little bit more serious today to encourage you. You got to go dumb. Why is that funny?
Because I've always felt dumb.
I'm sorry?
Because I've always felt dumb, and now it's a good thing, I guess.
Yeah, how did you feel dumb?
In school, I would just not do well. I would cheat, and I still fail.
That's dumb. But you want to go dumb. You want to only trust and rely on the truth. That's all. That's all you need. Really, it is amazing. I'm limited to get there, but it's amazing to live that way. I didn't know the depths of how dumb we have to be. We got to be dumb. You don't want to be an intellectual, all right?
I don't have to worry about that. I don't think I ever was.
Say what now?
I don't think I ever was an intellectual.
Yeah. And yet all your needs will be met. You will know what to do, when to do it. He will give you a clear mind about your practical needs as well. But you got to go dumb. All right? So how does it feel to sit still?
Comfortable. I feel relaxed now.
Yeah. So I want you to practice that all day. All day, all right?
5 days we've been doing it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. All around the beach, you know, just trying to be present.
Yeah.
Trying to do the silent prayer everywhere. And is it all right when I do the silent prayer if I have water running, you know what I'm saying, to keep bringing me back to it? You know what I mean? Like,
what do you mean, water running?
Well, like, you know, like a waterfall. You know what I'm saying? How, you know what I'm saying? If there's a waterfall there and I'm trying to do the silent prayer, I can bring my thoughts back to the waterfall. You know what I'm saying?
No. Not now. Maybe one day you can use a lot of water. But you want to be quiet so you could be aware of the hell inside of you. Yes. You want to see the hell in you. And you don't want to lose awareness of that hell inside of you. And it's the awareness, which is the light of God, that will destroy the hell. So you want to be in hell.
I've seen hell.
You've seen hell?
Yeah, I've seen hell.
Yeah. And you want to be in hell and love your hell. Don't hate your hell. And if you love it, it will be taken away from you. And when I mean love it, don't run away from it. Don't love it or hate it, right? But don't run away from it. You want to see your hell in you. And the Father will save you from it. All right? Any question about that?
No, sir.
Well, okay. Yes, ma'am. Do you see your hell in you?
I do.
And do you love seeing your hell in you?
I battle with that because sometimes I don't.
And why not?
Because I beat myself up. I'm like, I wasn't supposed to do that today.
So what now?
Like, I beat myself up about it.
About your hell?
Yes.
Why?
Because it's just that thing of striving to be better. And I, like, keep track of when I'm doing wrong versus me doing right.
I don't understand that.
Like, I'm judging myself when I mess up. Like, I'm not loving my hell. I'm hating it.
Oh,
and I'm beating
why
myself
not?
Up.
You got to love your hell. And there's no such thing as striving to be better. You can't make yourself better.
Then how am I making myself bad if I can't make myself better?
I'm sorry?
I said, and how am I making myself bad if I'm trying to, oh God, I know what I'm trying to say, it's just the words are coming. How, you said that there's no such thing as striving to be good.
Right.
But I know I'm being bad.
Right.
So how can I be good? You know what I'm trying to say? No.
This young lady want to respond. She has the perfect answer. She's striving to be better, mm-hmm. But you're not able to be.
To like, yes, I'm, yeah.
Go ahead.
I think, for me personally, I think it's okay to recognize that you're doing something that's wrong or you're in a place that's not good, but to not judge yourself for it. Because I think, for me personally, let's just say I'm going around the same loop that I know is a loop. Like you were saying, I think when you was on stage, that, oh, I'm not going to do this again today, right? So, like, just see it. See, like, when you, whatever that thing is that you're doing that you said, oh, I'm not going to do this again today, just, like, watch it and, like, watch it happen, but, like, feel no type of way about it. And I feel like eventually it just leaves, it just disappears. But, like, don't feel good about it, don't feel bad about it, just see it, observe it, is what I've done personally. And yeah. It's just got better.
That help?
That does help.
So will you stop trying to be better?
Yes.
And why?
Because it's just going to make me worse. And it just makes me judge myself. And I just seep deeper into this hell hole.
Okay.
That's what I feel like anyway when I do it.
The young man in the back want to tell you why you should stop trying to be better.
I'm not a judge to do that because I'm always striving to be better. And it's not working.
Why is not working if you're striving?
Because it's unnatural.
What's unnatural?
To strive to be better.
So why are you doing it then?
Because I want to be better. But
if it's unnatural, why do you want to be better?
Well, it's natural and unnatural. I can't quite describe it, but I mean, there's certain patterns in your life that you keep repeating, and that's what one of the patterns I have is I just keep repeating this pattern because I'm so hardwired into a living in the past, I guess. I judge myself for the past, and I'm trying to be better, but I'm so hardwired over my past events that I always feel I'm on the treadmill.
Okay.
I mean, I can't.
Are you losing weight?
I'm losing weight.
On the treadmill?
I'm losing weight because I'm not eating as much.
Nice.
Well, I'm just kind of depressed about my situation.
Nice. We'll see how far that gets you.
No, it doesn't. Depression doesn't help.
Then why are you doing it?
I guess it's because I love my misery, I guess.
Oh, okay.
I'm not that I love it, but it just, I'm hardwired wrong. And that's hard to admit. Alex is hardwired wrong. I'm like, really? And I goes, yeah, like I'm constantly living in the past, or I'm living in the future, and I'm never living in the present. Like,
Rochelle, what's your advice to him? And then I got to move on, man. I can't. We started late, but I'm going to still end on time. Yes, what's your advice to him?
My advice would be just to let it all go. And when you say that you're judging yourself, it's not you judging yourself. It's still the thoughts that it's just a thought, but it's an influence that's making you think you're judging yourself, but it's not you. And to just let that all go, be still and do the silent prayer. That's what works for me.
Okay.
And do what's in front of you to do. The past is gone. The past doesn't exist anymore. There's nothing you can do about it. It's over. The future has yet to come. When you stay present and stay aware and stay doing what's in front of you to do, that's just the best way to live. But
okay.
And watch every thought, because the judgment is not you.
Thank you. What's on your mind?
I'm just listening.
But what's on your mind?
What's on my mind?
Uh-huh.
Probably just from the comments I was just making, like looking at some of my own loops and seeing which ones I'm still in and which ones I've moved past in the year or so that I've been in.
Yeah. And what do you see about yourself concerning that?
What do I see? Just the loops that I want to, you know, I was just telling her to let it go and, like, just watch it. But, like, still, I was in my thoughts just a second ago. I was listening to Rochelle at the same time about the things that it's easy for us to kind of see somebody else's situation and give an opinion of, and a lot of the time I feel like our opinions are, like, correct and right. But then when it comes to our own hell, like, we don't always see it so clearly. So I was just thinking about my own loops that I'm still currently in.
Give me an example, one of your hell that you see in a loop by, so we can get you out of the loop with one hell.
Being consistent in certain areas of my life.
Give me an example of what I mean.
So not in every aspect. So like in like daily functions, I'm very practical, and I get things done that I need to get done. But there's just certain topics that are probably a little bit too personal to kind of bring up here, but that I'm not consistent in, that I want to be consistent in, because I know it's going to help me grow as a person.
Yeah. Give me one that you could give me, an example.
Ooh. Working out regularly. I can't stand it. I hate it. And my husband's amazing at it. So it's like in my face all the time because he's very, very consistent. And, right. and I think that's amazing because I think when you get paired with somebody, you're generally, from what I've seen, the opposite. Right. So that the things that I'm great at or good at, he might need, and the things that he's good at, I need. So you kind of make a great team.
And so do you get up and do it anyway?
Sometimes, yeah, and sometimes, no.
And why not sometimes?
Because I make excuses, or I really don't like doing the things I really don't like doing. And I got to get over myself and just get on with it and do it because it's good for me. And afterwards, you feel better for it. So that's like a constant
really good
struggle.
That's a good example, too.
Yeah.
Here's what I want you to do. Do what you want, but mm-hmm. I highly recommend it. When it is telling you not to do it, mm-hmm. well, not now, do it later, mm-hmm. or blah, 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 do it anyway.
Yeah, that's what I've been
no
trying to do.
No matter how you feel about it, how hard it is to get up and make it to the gym, mm-hmm. do it anyway, it'll blow your mind.
Yeah.
Because it's just that same evil spirit trying to talk you out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Satan come at us in all kinds of ways. And so something as simple as that, mm-hmm. he'll tell you, put it off, mm-hmm. do it this way or do it later, but do it anyway.
Yeah, and I try and even fix a routine. So like before the kids get on the bus in the morning, I'm up at a certain time, I have my workout gear on so I can take them to school and go straight to the gym.
Right.
But like sometimes it just doesn't happen and
he's
then I get annoyed
you
myself.
Out of it.
Yeah, for
he
sure.
He really is.
For sure.
Something that simple, he's talking you out of mm-hmm. it. So in order to die from that, mm-hmm. do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter how you feel, do yeah. it anyway.
Okay.
Let me know how that goes.
Okay.
Because he will try to talk you out of it.
Yeah.
Right?
There's so much benefit from going.
Oh, yeah.
So you feel better and you look
absolutely.
Better and all of that good stuff. So
it's just that he wants you to obey him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He doesn't want to depart from you.
Mm-hmm.
So he finds all kinds of things to...
Oh, the reasons are very are interesting.
Absolutely.
The ones that, you know, that come up to why you shouldn't go or can't go or whatever.
And I want you to notice that it's not from you. Those are not your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
They really are not you. Not you talking yourself out of it at all.
Okay.
All right? Mm-hmm. So give it a good try. Let us know how it goes on the okay. women's forum next time.
Okay. Oh, I think we have a wedding that Thursday, so I won't be here.
Well, the next time.
Next
whatever
one?
I
okay.
see. Yeah. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. And then I want to answer this, and I got to get to your question. Sorry about that.
It's something I had to realize within myself that... we have to really look at the so-called good thoughts or the things that supposedly with good intention.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I want to be good, or I want to do good, or I want to go to the gym,
yeah.
or I want to, we don't have to listen to that either.
Not like, at all.
And then when you say
you
all thoughts.
You shouldn't listen to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All thoughts are all lies all the time about anything. All thoughts are all lies. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that brings me back to your question about you trying to be, what was wrong with you?
I was saying, I know I'm making myself bad, so how is it impossible to strive to be good?
Oh, that's so good question.
Good one.
An amazing question. And Nick want to respond to it, and then Joel Friday, he'd be like, he want to respond.
How do you know you're making yourself bad?
How do I know I'm making myself bad? Well, because I just know it's not good.
But how do you know you're doing that?
How I know I'm doing that?
You can't make yourself good, right? You're having trouble with that.
Yes.
But you said, but you are making yourself bad.
Like I know I am.
How can you describe that knowing?
I know I'm making myself bad because it's just...
You don't want to be bad.
I don't.
Right, but you know you're making yourself bad.
Yes.
Explain that moment.
It's kind of like being an alcoholic surrounded by...
Are you still
like,
an alcoholic?
I'm not. I'm not. No. That's just the best way I can
describe it. I thought
you had
given up the alcohol.
Me?
Uh-huh.
I used to be.
Yep. Oh, I'm just playing.
Past tense. Oh, you are? Oh, Lord.
But when you describe the way you describe your situation, it almost sounds like when someone talks that way, it almost sounds like they're saying,
when I'm doing bad, I want to do bad. But you just told me you don't want to.
I don't.
So where's the, help me understand how you're making yourself do that, though.
Well, I know it's not me, but I'm just succumbing to whatever it is that's making me do it.
So you know it's not you? So are you making yourself bad or not?
But I'm not. Well, I guess I'm not.
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Like, I know it's not me, but I keep falling into the trap of succumbing to whatever it is that's making me do it.
That's an interesting answer. It's already different than I'm making myself bad. That's already changed a little bit.
That makes sense?
That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're neither bad nor good. You're not making yourself bad, nor are you making yourself good. There is no you. So if you don't exist, no such thing as a you, how can you make yourself good or bad?
That's fair. That makes sense.
I'm sorry?
I said that makes sense.
Is that real clear?
Yes.
There's no you. There is no you. And that's the problem with human beings. They think that is them. And they think, well, who would I be if I'm not something? I got to be something. I got to be something. Who will I be if I be nothing? You'll be in perfect peace. You will absolutely be in perfect peace when you become nothing. There is no you. So you're neither making yourself bad or good, period. You never had anything to do with it.
That makes sense.
Does it?
Yes, it does.
In what way? How does it make sense to you?
In the sense of it's not me, so I can't deem it as I'm making myself bad because I'm not.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you can't say I'm making myself good because you're not. I wish that you could get that point today. If you can grab hold of that point today, you'll be free. There's no you. You're neither good nor bad. And that's what keeps human beings locked in hell, pure hell, because they really believe they have something to do with it. They believe it's them. It's not you at all. It's not you. It's not you. It's not you. So don't, you can't make yourself bad. There is no you. How can you make yourself bad if you don't exist? Or be good if you don't exist?
Can I ask a question really quickly? So what does exist?
Not you.
So what's existing?
Not you. When you can come home with that, come to term with that, you'll be free. There is no you. There's nothing to work on. There's nothing to make good or bad. There's nothing. All your crying has been in vain. All your Lord help me has been in vain. Lord have mercy and pity for me. That person treated me bad has been in vain. Lord have mercy me. I need some more money has been in vain. There's no you. There's literally no you. And that's the problem. Your husband, your wife about to take you to court for the child. You don't want to go. Don't say, I don't want to, don't want to go. Just live. It'll work out. There's no you. There's no you. There's nothing to protect you from. What do you think about that?
That's something to think about over the week, for sure. I mean, it makes sense how he just, you know, explained it.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something to think about.
It is an illusion that there is a you. Human being, there is no you. The tears you have are all fake. The sleepless nights, late at night, all fake. It's all for the thrill. People do things for the thrill of it. Because it feels like life. They call it life. I'm in hell. I'm sad. I'm scared. I'm lonely. I'm all by myself. Nobody loves me. That's a thrill to feel that way. Somebody stole my money. That old woman stole my money. Then she went and married somebody else. It's a thrill to think about somebody stole your money. Laying up all night in the bed, can't sleep. Think about that money. It's a thrill. That's all it is. It has no other meaning. It's just a thrill that somebody did you bad. Somebody gossiping about me and now everybody talking about me. Lord, I'm laying up here all night. I just don't know what to do, God. If God even tried to take that away from me, you'd cuss him out. You want that thrill. Isn't that amazing? Stop loving your thrills. It's all just for thrills. You don't feel bad. You just love feeling bad. You don't really feel lonely. You just love the idea of being lonely. Women call me sometimes, they be crying. I'm like, what's wrong? I ain't got no husband. In counseling, I'm like, I want a husband. I'm getting old. I need a husband. I want a husband. I'm like, why? Well, why do you want that? And you know why they want it? For the thrill. Because the relationship not going to work anyway. The relationship is not going to work. They want more thrill. They want to get into the relationship so they can fight. That's all it means to be in a relationship. If you don't have a good fight going on, you don't even want the relationship. You could test me. Woman or man, meet a husband or wife that really treats you like you need to be treated. They don't bother you about where you're going or how long you're going to be. They're not jealous. They're not worried. The woman to keep the house going, the man doing what he's doing, she not care. You're going to be like, what's wrong? I don't like this relationship. You got to be fighting over something. Yeah. Find something to be mad about. God said, don't be mad about anything. Satan said, you got to be mad. They'd rather be mad. They'll make up something. Oh, he's like 10 minutes late from work. Thank God. I'm going to cuss him out when he gets home. And I want him to cater to me. Isn't that true? You don't want your relationship to work. Because if you wanted it to work, you stop trying to get something from the next person. Mm. Really. All you have to do is stop trying to get anything from anyone. And the relationship will work. No one has anything to give you anyway. When you're married, the wife naturally does her duty. The man naturally does his duty. What? You don't need nothing. They don't need anything. They're doing what they're supposed to do. That makes sense? It's all for the thrill. People get married just to have a fight the day after the honeymoon. You didn't bring me coffee this morning to the bed. And it's a fight. The morning after the honeymoon. I'm telling you, people are evil. People, I want to say that again. Human beings are pure evil. They love the thrill. It's all about the thrill. And that's why you get mad, like you got mad at your little friend, right? It was a thrill. Because somebody made the point here that you, when you realize, no, I don't want to be friends with this guy anymore. You didn't need the thrill from it. Just be done with him.
I wouldn't say that I was mad, Jesse. I gave into the thought of, okay, let me
answer this. That's the thrill.
Yeah, so.
Because you can not be around and be done with it and feel nothing about it. Zero. That's what God wants you with it. He doesn't want you to feel it. Because you're going to wish him well anyway. Whatever his mess is, that's his mess. He can't help it. And you know that he can't help it, right? So why be mad at him knowing that he can't help it, but move on with life? You don't need to be angry to move on.
I'm still, I guess, with that label, friend, sometimes I feel like, again, it's for the thrill, but I owe this or I have to answer the phone sometimes.
No, you don't.
My friend, but I know I don't.
You can lay right there and let the phone ring. Really, you don't have to answer the phone. There's nothing in the law that says you got to answer the phone unless God is calling. Oh, man. But you don't have to answer the phone. You hold him no obligation to answer the phone.
You're right. I'm watching myself, but yeah, I do acknowledge that. Yeah, I was looking for that thrill and listening to my thoughts.
It was just a thrill. Yep. It felt better to be irritated at him because he got on about nothing. And it felt better for you to be irritated at him rather than just realize, you know what, he can't help himself and move on. Then you will have life instead of death. Because people who love thrill love death. That's why they want the thrill. They call it life. Isn't that true? They call it life. You don't need the thrill. That's of the devil. That's evil. You don't have to be mad at people. You just love the thrill.
I think I'm trying to hold on to this thing of being a good person or a good friend. So, like I said, I've ignored this call dozens of times. And then I finally said, I listened to my thoughts, said, let me see what's going on this time. And yeah, I fell into that.
It's the same person calling.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Nothing changed.
So you don't have to answer the phone.
Right.
All right.
I'll keep that in mind.
That makes sense?
Yes.
All right. That makes sense, folks?
Yes.
Yeah. If Nick, you don't want to feel like talking to Nick, don't answer the phone. You had a question.
Well, now that I have the mic, I got two things to respond to. The biblical question or what you said to the young man in front earlier. He said he didn't like talking about himself, and he asked if it was his ego, and then you said yes. But you said before that talking about yourself is the ego, so should we talk about ourselves or not talk about ourselves?
Neither one.
So just stay quiet then?
Yeah.
Well, then why do you ask people to talk about themselves
for
10
minutes?
To
make you talk about yourself.
You know? I mean, talking about yourself is satisfying your ego, right? You want people to know about you, and you want people to feel sorry for you or to, you know, elevate you. Not here. Okay. So the biblical question.
Could you ever really know another person?
No. No one ever truly knows anyone. I personally believe that.
Okay.
I was also told that by an older woman years ago.
Where is she now?
She was actually murdered in New Mexico.
I rest my case.
May she rest in peace. But she told me that her father had told her that no one really knows anyone. You know, this question really hit me because I was told this by someone years ago. You know, and when you
and where is she this, now?
Well, she died. Yeah, but
I rest my case.
She told, but what she did tell me was that her father told her, the only people who truly know each other are twins. Identical twins? Yeah.
But twins don't even know each other.
Well, I mean, that's what she said. Those are the only
she lied.
People in the world that actually know each other. No one else. You could be married, and she told me, you could be married to someone for 30 years and never know them completely.
Okay.
So that makes sense. I mean, we never really know anyone.
Okay, you
know?
I got to get two more people to respond to this, and then I got to wind down. Joel want to respond, and then Sean want to respond.
Biblical question?
Yes. Could you really, really, what was it? No, another person.
Say it one more time.
Do you ever really know another person? I think you can. I think it just simply comes down to once you get to know the true you, and the spirit within is you, then you know the spirit. It only lives by one thing. And when you know the not you, you understand the not you as you're overcoming, you know it only has one purpose as well. And once you know that, you know everybody. You know how everybody will behave. You know how everybody's future actions will be. You can predict it because the not you and the you only has one purpose.
How should I go like this? He's rapping with it. Yes, sir. You say, concern the biblical question.
I said no because the reason I thought about this is I was thinking about my parents and the stuff that they must have been through throughout their life that I'll just never know about, you know, like the experiences that I know they're not their experiences, but I think about, you know, my parents before I was born and even since then, stuff that they've been through that I'll just never know about. And that's true about everybody. You know, that's true about everyone you meet. Like this, no matter how much you know about them, you're never going to know everything. So that's my opinion is no.
Well, okay. Amazing. Did you have your hand about the biblical question?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I think you can truly know somebody. I think that knowing yourself is a difficult thing. The illusion of Satan for yourself, but I think you watch people long enough, you hang around that you truly can know people. Like I feel like I know you and how you are. I've just watching you for like 3 years.
Okay.
But if you ask me about me, like I'm still under illusion figuring myself out, but I feel like I can see and know other people watching them and being around them long enough to know their nature. It's yourself that's the difficult thing to figure out.
Oh, okay.
Like Giojo says, knowing's half the battle.
Yes, sir.
Me?
Yes.
I mean, if this is all just fake identity on fake identity, then I don't think you can really know anyone else, especially if you don't even know yourself. As a twin, I can definitely say that that doesn't get you any closer to knowing anybody either.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. Okay.
Oh. Right, that's for sure. So, okay, you say no, you can never really know someone else?
No, if you're, because I think we just interact with each other as egos. But if you want to really go into it, if we can really be of the Father and live with that spirit, it's almost a moot point. Because why would you need to know anybody else but the Father?
Okay. Amazing. Yes, sir.
Oh, I disagreed with that last part.
I'm sorry?
What you just said. Like
you say you disagree or agree?
No, I agreed.
Oh, okay.
Made perfect sense. I was just nodding my head because it sounded right.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. I saw you bowing.
That was me agreeing.
Yes, sir.
Now that I've had some time to think about it, I think that you can know someone else.
How's that?
If you know yourself, and if you watch yourself, you'll see the same evil inside of you, inside of other people. And that's about the depths of the human experience that you can understand and know.
Oh,
the
okay.
evil that's within yourself is the same evil that's within someone else.
Okay. Yes, Hank. And then I got to end that. Thank you.
I say no.
You cannot?
Yeah. Yeah.
And why?
Because you get into your head about what somebody's going through, and that's all. For real, that's all. You just get into your head about what somebody's going through.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, amazing. What? Oh, you want to respond to this? Real fast.
I say no.
And why?
because I don't think most people even know who they are. So what is there even to try to get to know? Because it's like a facade, you know? It's like the whole thing is an illusion. There's really nothing to know because they don't even know.
Oh, okay. You said that there's nothing to know because they don't even know?
Yeah, like people would be like, oh, yeah, I know this person, but that person doesn't even know who they are. So you're just putting some sort of, like, you're just getting a synopsis of something that they don't even know, that, you know? So it's like a whole inception.
Amazing. What I want to do, make note of this, hey, I want to hold this for one more Sunday. It's very interesting, and y'all need to smoke on this a little bit. All right? Make note of that, Sean. It's an interesting question that he came up with it, but I had no idea what I was going to hear today. So we'll pick up on it next week. All right? So before we end, tell me what you realized today about you from what you heard in the meeting today.
What I realized is that me not wanting to speak about myself was my ego. I did not realize that. That was a big realization.
Oh, okay.
So that and also not being affected by feeling dumb or being dumb. Before, I wanted to be smart and kept trying to be smart, and the more I tried, I became dumber, I think. So, yeah, those are the things I realized.
What made you think that being dumb was wrong?
Maybe looking at it was people getting praised for passing and doing all those things. And I wasn't getting praised or any of that.
Oh, okay.
So comes to my head, I guess.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Okay. Nice.
Thank you.
This is your first time here. What have you realized from hearing everything today and speaking today? What do you realize about yourself? And don't be moving.
Yeah. About myself.
You moving.
I know, but I'm really kind of blank. You know, I really don't know, you know, what I really learned today.
Oh, okay.
About myself. Just that I can't be good and I can't, you know, be bad. You know what I mean?
What do you think about that?
Well, I think if I would have went out last night and smoked crack with them people under the blanket outside my hotel, you know, I'd have been bad.
Why?
Know what I'm saying? Just because I wouldn't have been here this morning. You know what I'm saying?
But why would you call that bad?
Because I believe that, you know, drugs are the devil. You know what I mean?
What?
Just the drugs are the devil. Cocaine's the devil.
Why do you think drugs are the devil?
Well, I mean, I've watched girls smoke their pregnant baby out of their stomach. You know what I'm saying? It's the devil.
But why do you think the drugs are the devil?
Why do I think it's the devil? Just because bad things come, you know, from it.
Well, the drug didn't come from the devil.
Yeah.
The drug came from what was already wrong with her. She already had issues.
Yes.
So she went out and smoked the pot.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And as a result of smoking the drug, one thing led to another because she never dealt with what's inside of her.
Yes.
I want you all to understand that it's not the drug that's the problem. It's something wrong with you inside that you have not dealt with, that you're not overcome. Because if you dealt with that, they could have drugs all over the street and you wouldn't touch them.
That's what I thought last night. You know, if I'm one with the Father, you know what I'm saying? That's not me.
Right. If you have peace on the inside, you would not touch the drugs.
Yes.
No Amen. Matter if they laid them out and just passed them out all over the street. It wouldn't bother you. You'd walk right past it. You wouldn't even judge the drug addict because you understand with them. But it wouldn't bother you at all.
Yes.
So it's not the drug. I don't recommend doing the drug, but that's not the problem. Work on the problem, then the drugs will fall away.
Yes. Yes, that's what they say. You take the drugs and alcohol away, and you have the problem. Underlying problem. And when you take the drugs and alcohol away, you have the underlying problem. You know what I'm saying, that you have to work on.
Yes, you have to work on it. All right.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Yes.
I just wanted to mention that I realized something as I'm sitting here, and you asked Kat and the new Redondo guy to go up on stage, and I felt annoyed that they said no to that. And what I realized in that moment is that's so minute, it's so insignificant to me, right? Well, not right. Sean made mention about the word right, and it stuck with me, and I've been trying to stop saying that. But anyway, as I was seated here listening or feeling that annoyance, I realized that it's so important to watch even those little annoyances, because absolutely, they can, like, normally I would have just shrugged it off and been like, oh, well, whatever, and mm-hmm, I would have forgotten about it, gone on about my day.
Yeah.
But it's, those are those little annoyances, I feel like they can build up to something.
Absolutely. 100%. You got last time you got ticked too, right?
I'm always getting ticked.
Did you get ticked last Sunday too?
Yeah, you said no one but Jessica's dad doesn't get ticked or whatever, but
right,
yeah,
everybody
or gets
ticked
or whatever.
It's a baby Jessica daddy.
Yeah, I get ticked real quick.
What, I forgot, do you want to say why you got ticked last Sunday?
What was it?
Oh, about...
No, it was the one before last Sunday when we were going back and forth and I was, championing for Joel, because I'm like, yes, he makes a valid point about the woman and the child, remember?
Parents charged for their son's murder.
Right.
No, that wasn't that one. You were ticked last Sunday.
Was it really?
Because I think it was about your husband and everybody. Oh, you remember, Sha?
It's like on the tip of my tongue.
Sure.
Was I really ticked? 3 Sundays in a row? What?
You always ticked.
Well, hey, I'm watching it. I'm watching
that's
myself.
Right. Oh, I think it's something about... I don't remember. But something about your husband. Oh, you're like, everybody doing... I got everybody doing the prayer.
Well, wait a minute.
Even my husband doing the prayer.
Well, I didn't...
And I'm like, but you just responded to the devil. Oh, yeah. I said, you just responded to the devil. I ain't responding to no devil. I got my husband.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I got my husband doing the prayer. You remember that now?
Yes, because it was you, and she's like, well, I don't remember the question, so could you rephrase it? And I'm like, oh my gosh, she wasn't listening to the question, and I'm already annoyed. I have issues with Jesse, and yeah, it was like ridiculous. It's so ridiculous, and it's silly, Jesse. It's
right.
Just so silly.
But the beauty is you're now starting to see it.
Yes.
That's the blessing. That's, I almost said plea, but do what you want. I highly recommend this week and every week, all day, watch those little ticks. Watch when you get upset, when you think somebody, the guy didn't want to come up. He didn't want to come. Nobody did. It'd been nice if he came up, but nobody did. But watch those ticks, because whether he came up or not had nothing to do with you.
100%.
Right. And so the beauty is now you're watching it. Yeah. And you can admit it. You're not running from it. If everyone were to do that, you could be free. Really, you just got to watch it. You got to watch it. Stand at the gate and watch for Christ. Christ to come through the gate. Just watch it. And the average human being does not want to watch. They'd rather blame somebody else or look at other people or do this or do that. But they don't want to watch what's happening with them. I can't imagine not watching it myself. You got to watch. It's in you. You got to. So that's the beauty. But you've been ticked a lot up in here every week.
I know. I totally, yeah. But I did want to say one thing, that I don't really argue with my husband.
Nice.
We don't argue.
Well, I had to ask him. Yes, that's all. Yes, ma'am.
So, quick question for like Daniel was saying, like the things that tick us off, right? That they're all individual, like for each person. Should we be asking ourselves why we're ticked off? Let's just say I'm at home and I don't know, something's going on. I'm like, I'm irritated, like for whatever reason when that happens. Should we try to analyze why we're ticked?
No.
Or just let it go?
Just see it. That's all you need to do is see it. Don't analyze it. Don't agree with yourself or the devil about it. Just see it. And seeing it, the devil have to leave you.
But don't you think, though, that sometimes when we do analyze it a little bit, we're able to, like, pull things out that have maybe... Because I've noticed, like, different things that I might have been dealing with have come from, you know, some type of childhood trauma or something that's happened that's made me that way or made me respond that way. And once I've dealt with that and I've seen that, it just disappears.
You said it may have come from a childhood...
You know, a lot of the things I feel like as adults, the things that we go through, the things that make us who we are is... kind of how we've grown up, how we've raised our parents,
right,
and different traumas that we've been through as children or young adults,
right,
kind of make us who we are now, right?
Right.
So, which is why us as parents and all parents, I believe, are trying to watch what they're doing with their own children so that when they grow up, they don't have as many things to come back and forgive me for, right?
But that's not to how you prevent your kids from growing up like that. You prevent your kid from going through the same stuff by overcoming it.
Sure, but so, in the process of overcoming, shouldn't we be trying to see why we're ticked?
No.
So you just observe it and let it go?
Because the light would allow you to see it.
Okay.
I want to encourage you, and it's a very good question. God is trying to save you from all this mess, right?
Mm-hmm.
From hell, because none of it is you.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
All your childhood stuff, yep, none of that was never you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to save you from the hell that you're in. But if you try to analyze it and come up with some stuff, say he got you. He's going to mislead you.
So just acknowledge the fact that you are ticked.
Yeah, just see it.
And then just keep it moving.
Just see it. That's right. Just see it. That's why I'm encouraging everybody this morning, keep your eyes on you. See how much tick she got going on there? Tick tock. But she's seeing it now.
Mm-hmm.
She is seeing it. Now she'll be free from it. Because God is doing the rest. Matter of fact, it's God who has allowed her to see it because she wants to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if she didn't want to see it, God wouldn't even let her see it.
Okay.
He allowed her to see it. He's allowed her to see it. It has nothing to do with her, period. She's been angry all this time and not realized you were worshiping the devil.
Okay.
But God is to take care of you. You don't need to do anything. He does not need your help in it at all.
So just acknowledge that you're annoyed.
Yes.
In whatever the
and
situation
acknowledge
might be.
Me, you ain't got to run and tell everybody. Just see that you are.
Okay.
You don't have to run to your husband or somebody, I'm ticked. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or every time you see your family, you got to acknowledge, I was ticked this morning. Or I felt this. No. Just stay with God, and he is allowing you, because it's not you. It's not even you feeling that way. The memories that you have about the so-called past is not even you. That's the devil bringing up the past. The past doesn't exist anymore. It's an illusion. So to think about your family memories and John Doe raped you in the woods one day, not that John Doe did it. I don't think so. Don't
it's
tell me.
It's extremed.
Right. But my point is, God just wants you to see the hell in you, and it's not you. And the devil wants you to remember. You can, of ourselves, we can do nothing. We can't make ourselves remember this stuff. We can't make ourselves change from it. We can't bring it up. The devil is bringing up the memories because he wants to control you.
All right, I'm going to smoke on that.
I'm sorry?
I'm going to smoke on that.
Does it make sense at this point?
I understand what you're saying, and a lot of it makes sense, but there's a few things to me that doesn't make sense.
Like what? One quick thing.
Because
we start out late, but we're going to end.
Real quick, when you say that, you know, things don't, who cares about childhood trauma or things that we've gone through, but I just think that some of our reactions, or I speak for myself, some of the reactions of when I have interacting with different people or whatever is from different situations that have happened when I was a child that burnt me for whatever reason, and that's why I'm still the way I am now, until I see it, till I overcome it, and then I move forward. But you're saying that it doesn't matter what happened when you were a child because it was not you anyway. So I'm just trying to process what you're saying.
Sean, want to add to that, and then I'll end it out with that. It was a very good question.
You know, the thing that influences you to be ticked, annoyed at certain things, and the thing that influences you to call it bad, and the thing that influences you to think it's you are all the same thing. And the thing that influences you to give it a reason and give it a why, like this is why this happened, those are all the same thing. And it's also the same thing when you do something good and you call it good. It's all the same thing. None of those things exist like in the present.
No,
those are all things to bring you out of the present.
That's the truth. It doesn't exist. It's a lie from the devil. When you had your little childhood trauma, it was over when it happened. When you were traumatized this morning, when you left that trauma, it was done. It was no more. But the devil tell you that it's there. It's still there. And you believe the devil, and now you're trying to relive, you're trying to react out. But it's a lie. It doesn't exist anymore. It's an illusion. That's why God said that we got to become whole. We must become one, because we are neither the past nor the future. We are none of those things. It's all an illusion. When you were traumatized that morning, that was it. When your mama beat you.
Gotcha.
That morning when your mama beat you. That morning when your mama beat you. When you walked out of that door when your mama stopped beating you, it was over.
All right,
got it. It was really over. But the devil said it wasn't. The devil said, hold on to that beating and go to therapy 60 years later. Don't let that go. That's still real. It's not real. It's over when it happened. Really. But the therapy want you to remember, so they'll have you come to therapy every week to make buku money, repeat the same thing over. My mama beat me when I was 10. 30 years later, you're still talking about your mama beat you. Because they don't want you to leave, and then they give you medication. And then, so by that time, they're making money with the pharmacists because they made all your money. It's an illusion. It's an illusion, and it's an illusion. It's not real. Okay. I understand the difficulty. It's like the young lady can't believe that that's not her. There is no her. She doesn't even exist at all. How do you believe something like that? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it's the truth.
Okay.
So what do you think about that?
I understand what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. I think I just... I need to see it for myself. But I do understand what you're saying.
Yeah. In closing, I want you to know... It's the devil that is reminding you all this stuff. That's all that is. It's not from God. It's not from you. It's the devil telling you. And because you believe the devil, you feel it, and you may act upon it, or you may get depressed, or you may this or that. It's not from God. It's not real.
Okay.
Really, it's not. The devil got your mind making you believe that. Let's say grandma beat you. That was 20 years ago. What are you doing? Think about grandma beat you 20 years later.
But that wasn't, I understand what you're saying there, but I think that wasn't initially somewhat of my point. I'm not saying that you should hang on to, let's just say grandma beat you and that was terrible, whatever, whatever, right? But I'm saying that the way that we behave now as adults, you may have changed some of your behaviors because of what you've been through. So when things come up and they arise, and your response, let's just say we're going through a situation at home and my response is abnormal. I know that there is something wrong with me there, right? So why did I respond like that? Let me figure out what happened there. But you're saying to not even figure it out, but just to see it and keep it moving.
That's right.
Okay.
All you need to do is see it. Because it's a fake response anyway. And you're never going to come up with the solution on your own. You never, it's impossible for you to come up with the solution to that incident, because Satan is not going to let you come up with it. He's going to keep you going around in a circle in hell. Well, you acted that way because the cat fell out the window, right? And you feel bad about the cat. And then you're going to say, go and get the cat some milk. You'll feel better. And then you get the cat some milk. And as soon as you get the cat some milk, oh, that poor cat still crippled. Now you got to think about that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand.
It's all from hell. It's straight out of hell. All past memories and future memories are from hell. They are not from you, and they are not from God.
Okay.
And that's why God wants you to watch those things, mm-hmm. so he can take them all away from you. Because they're spirits. They're evil.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And so it's time to trust God. Mm-hmm. And the way you trust God is to be afraid.
To be afraid?
Mm-hmm. For an example, when Satan tell you, oh, you're never going to forget that. 50 years later. Or you're never going to be free. Mm-hmm. Or you're afraid that you're never going to change. Mm-hmm. Or you lay up at night because you thought about something that stuck in your mind all day and all night. That's being afraid. And when you're being afraid, God will come and save you from the devil. He will take it away from you.
Okay.
You want to be afraid.
You mean when you say you want to be afraid, you're just saying feel the pain?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Feel the fear. Don't run away from the fear. Feel the fear. And God is trying to save us from the fear. The devil's not going to save you from it. God is trying to... Do you understand that? Feel the fear. Stop running away from the pain. Is that clear?
Yes.
Alessa, is that clear?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Feel the fear. People running away from the pain. Stop running away from the thing you need to be saved from.
Yeah.
You need to be saved. I need to be saved from the fear. Not run away from the fear. You read all you spend all your life running from the thing that you need to be saved from. So this week, stop running from the fear. Shaking your boots. It was like the first time you went to face your mother, right? It was the worst fear you ever had. Now you got to face the other fear of the devil. Feel, be glad to see it, meaning watch it. Watch the fear. He will save you from it. He's trying to save us. You say, God, save me. And when you try to save you, you run away from the fear, and he can't help you. All right? Okay.
The two things I learned today, watch the thrills, which are always emotional. You know, we love the thrills. And then the point from my
They're not always emotional. Because
some of it's intellectual.
Some thrills feel good to people. Like you go into a party, you got a thrill all the way to the party, right?
Yeah.
You feel good about that. Watch that.
The good and the bad thrills.
Yeah.
Watch the thrills.
Absolutely. And then that doesn't mean you can't go to the party and have fun. But when the party is over, it's over. You ain't got to be thinking about the party all the next day, all next week, and now you want to have a party because that was so good. Real fast.
Yeah, I'm going to watch the thrills. And then what my brother from another said is with friends, telling the truth with friends, I like what he said, they're always your enemy. I love that. So I'm going to tell the truth more so I can figure out who these fake people are.
No, don't do that.
No?
Don't tell the truth more for that reason. You just be honest with yourself. You don't need to be running around telling the truth.
Okay.
Do not test people.
And I thought about that, too. I thought, don't well, that just causes people. Problems with
don't
the people,
Don't test people
too.
Like that. You're not supposed to.
And maybe I just say
the
nothing.
The devil is doing enough testing on folks. You don't need to test anyone.
All right.
You're doing the work for the devil.
Silently watch.
You. Just watch you.
Okay.
All right.
But I like what he said about that. They're
no, don't like that. Uh-uh.
I'm still liking it.
No. Okay. Does this help a little bit?
Yes.
And did it help to have people come up? And I want you to get to know yourself. It's going to be mind-blowing. And you don't know who that is at this point. Really. Does anyone in this room think they know themselves? No? Are you just scared to say? Do you raise your hand? You think you know yourself?
I think I'm getting to know myself.
I didn't ask that question.
But I mean, like, I'm answering it in the sense that you say, like, know yourself to know who you really are.
That wasn't a question.
Well, yeah, I do. Yes, still.
You know yourself.
Right.
You know yourself.
Right.
Okay. You go. What do you think about your job? Is that ticking you off?
I don't know what it is, but maybe it's the freckles. Joelle just doesn't tick me off generally. In general.
Didn't you say you had a husband?
Well, yes. And
no,
I'm
wonder
happily
you're
married.
Pleased with your husband. You got Joelle. Okay. All right, folks. The biblical question. Listen. If you really do what I'm telling you to do, I know most people are not going to do it, and I know most people are going to try to stop these people and others who are working on themselves, but don't let anyone stop you, no matter what, all right? Don't let anyone stop you. Eventually, it's going to be so much fun working on yourself. It may not seem like it's going to be that way, but it will. You will enjoy working on you. It really gonna be fun. But you gotta work on you and nobody else. You're not responsible for anyone else. You cannot save another person. Even God don't help anyone that don't want it. He doesn't. If you don't want it, he's totally fine. So you can't save your wife, your husband, your children, nobody. Only God can do that. And he only helps those who want it. Who really want it. And he will help you if you want it, all right? So the assignment is this week, watch those thrills and watch you. Just watch them. Don't let anyone turn you away from seeing what's going on inside of you, all right? You won't regret it, all right? The biblical question for this week is... Huh? I am, but I have a new one too. Yeah, I just want the people to smoke on that a little bit more. But I have a new one.
What is real power?
What is real power? Yes.
Peace.
Peace?
Peace within.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is real power? Thank you.
I think gentleness.
Who?
Gentleness.
Is real power?
Right, when you're gentle.
Well, okay. What is real power?
I would have to agree with her. I would say having peace within or just having the light of God, that's power.
Oh, okay. Bill, since you have the last word, did I see your hand or something?
I'll say it.
Oh. Hold on, Bill. Hold this thought. Okay. You have the last word. You're here every year to see us, and we love you. Yes, yeah, Hassan.
Awareness.
Oh, that's all I. It's the answer? Oh, she's like.
I'm saying that's a good answer. I could
Did
agree.
You change your mind? You don't like what she said? So
no, I do. I do. I still like what she said. I'm just saying that's also a good answer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Bill, you have the last word. I got it, everybody.
I just would say to be humble because humility is teachability. So I would just say to be humble.
Oh, okay. And since you go back to Michigan, last word.
Oh, wow.
What is real power?
Real power is
being... Are you still nervous?
No, I'm not nervous.
Why are you rubbing your leg?
I move a lot. I just twitch. I just move. No, I'll be honest. I don't know. You know what I mean?
You just like your mama.
You just like my mama?
Your mama.
I'll be honest with you. I did take care of my mama.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You rubbed your leg. Mama used to always cuss you out. while you're rubbing a leg. But what is real power?
Real power is being one with God.
Well, okay. I am out of time. That's the biblical question for this week. And any announcements? That's it? Okay. And we'll do the super chats tomorrow. Listen, folks. I promise you, as a living witness, you can be free right here on earth, and you can have perfect peace right here on earth. You don't have to wait until you die. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't recommend you die with that idea that you're going to get it once you die. I wouldn't bank on that one, all right? I highly recommend that you live now. Christ came that you may live now and live in perfect peace, perfect harmony. You can do it, but you got to work on you. And don't let anyone, I do a lot of counseling, and the distraction that you get from your family, from the wife, the husband, and your so-called friends and the children, don't fall for it. You don't have to respond to them, really. No one says you have to respond to anyone. Seek first the kingdom of God, his right way, and don't let anyone in the way of that. You'll be fine. You'll be fine, all right? So I'll thank you all for tuning in. I want to say I'm sorry about starting late, but it was Joel's fault, so I don't need to apologize. All right? Bye. Bye. Okay.